ladies and gentlemen, coming to you live from beautiful Santa Rosa Beach, Florida. It's the Driveway Liberty Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the Driveway Liberty Bonus Cast. I am your Uncle Wes, and I'm sitting here with Travis and Dan, my good friends. First thing we need to tell you is this podcast is not safe for kids under 14, right. Adults over 57.
Well, Dan ain't got too much longer to last on the podcast. No.
I got one more year. This is my second to last year of my contract.
You got to replace him.
He's got one more booty hole surgery. So, anyway, guys, we're sitting in Travis's kitchen tonight because there's a little sprinkle action going outside. It's been kind of a wet summer, man.
We're not in the summer. It's October, brother.
Well, I know, but I was referring to the actual
in between
summer.
The rain showers today, it felt like summer.
Yeah.
It's been a wet couple weeks.
I was referring to the summer, but yeah, okay. So, anyway, how are you guys doing?
Good. Hey, I want to start off a little bit off topic.
Okay.
I got a question for you.
All right.
I want to hear your most unpopular music opinion about a group or a band or a song.
I'll go first.
Okay. Uh-oh. Here we go. Let's ready for that one.
Beatles are overrated.
Ooh, that is pretty unpopular.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They were just in the right place at the right time. If you go back and listen to their music, I mean, they're all decent musicians, but it's nothing really super special there.
Yeah. All right. Dan, you?
Today's music sucks.
Okay, that's not really unpopular.
That's not a hot take.
That's like saying that Luke Bryan
makes Need to Breathe is
country.
No longer Christian rock.
Anybody over 40 is going to say that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and it's been that way. Like my dad in the 90s was saying that the music sucked back then.
Yeah, that's true.
Every old guy.
And I was always scared of that when I was young, man, because I'd see these older dudes, man, and they sitting around listening to this stuff from when they were teenagers. I'm like, dude, I'll never do that.
Yeah. Now you're playing it.
Now I'm playing that music now.
Yeah, now my Sirius XM just stays on lithium.
Lithium or...
It's funny when Wes puts out the little thing of the day for his band's Facebook page, mm-hmm. like name a song that has weather in it.
Yeah.
You listen through it. It's all like 90s or earlier.
Yeah.
There's like nothing current at all in any of those.
None of it. You know, it's like name when you get in your feels, what song do you like to listen to, and everything, all of that's pre-80s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, most of it was, I believe.
And that you even did like the change one word in the song to ruin it.
Yeah.
Everything was pre-90.
Yeah.
It goes to show you a bunch of old farts on following Wes's band.
There you go.
You can do wet ass fart. That changes the name of one word of a song.
Yeah, somebody did do that.
You couldn't curse though.
I put that chord because cursing makes it a little too easy. Yeah. So
what was the name of a song?
I Want to Rock. I had a couple of them.
Yeah,
but somebody did put WAP in there. That was Steve Burnett actually that did that because he's got teenage kids. So.
All right. So my highly unpopular opinion.
Yeah,
I've never espoused this out loud. Sublime is a terribly below average band with a couple of catchy songs.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. And you know what's funny? And
like, one of our most loyal listeners is going to flip out when he hears it.
Micah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he loves Sublime.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, man, is any cover band like between 2000 and 2005, you go hear them, they're playing all that Sublime's crap. Yeah. You know what another unpopular opinion might be? And I saw this in a meme today, and I kind of agreed with it. The Foo Fighters are America's Nickelback.
Ooh, I like the Foo Fighters.
I kind of do, too. But
And actually, I like Nickelback. I think they got a bad rap.
Okay, well, that song was terrible.
There's been some great memes created.
I want to be a rock star.
Yeah.
I mean, that video is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was a pretty good. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's...
I like Nickelback. I don't have any issues.
You know, probably my other most unpopular is I don't think the Eagles were that good.
You know what, man? When I was a kid and all the way through my early 30s, I loved the Eagles. I'd play Eagles. You know, we'd jam on Eagles if I was just sitting around campfire with some folks. I've got an uncle mm-hmm. who has a bit of a drinking problem.
Sweet.
And he swears... that he had a spiritual experience at an Eagles concert. And anytime he gets about 6-7 Miller Lights in, because that's what he drinks,
all right.
he he is putting Eagles on the radio or CD player or whatever, and he will fight you if you try to change it. I swear. And dude's like 5'6".
Yeah.
I mean, he's stout. I mean, his arms are like that big. I mean, he's been in construction his whole life. But he will fight you if you try to turn the Eagles off after 7-8 Miller Lights.
Yeah. You know, the other one, my wife gets on TikTok all the time. She's like, oh, you got to listen to this girl. And that kind of raspy singer-songwriter style.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so over it.
Yeah,
like a lot of people can kind of sing a little bit, basically try to do that to make it like you don't. Anyways, that's off topic.
I like the grunge stuff.
But I do like that's really unpopular favorite, opinions.
My favorite music.
I like the grunge stuff. I like the Allman Brothers stuff. I like the Wood Brothers. That's a band that not a lot of people have heard of.
The Proclaimers.
Okay.
Is that the I Would Walk 500 Mile guys?
Actually, that song's like stupid.
Yeah.
But if you listen to their album, like I like some folk, some of that Irish folk stuff.
Sure.
And I listen to like the modern folk, you know, playlists on Spotify and stuff. But some of the, they do some normal songs that Proclaimers do, and some of their stuff's pretty good.
All right.
But I Would Walk 500 Miles was catchy at one point.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, all right. Well, that's all my unpopular. I mean, I'm sure I'll think of some more. I'll just throw them out right now.
Wes is looking up the Proclaimer.
No, actually, his booking agent is booking this Pensacola gig just messaged me, so I had to answer a question. Nice. So,
all right.
I can't say that I've heard anything other than that 500 Miles song from Proclaimers.
Yeah, check them out. You got Spotify, right?
Yeah.
You should be able to see their entire.
I got Spotify, Amazon, iTunes. I can find them. Yeah. Hell, they're on YouTube.
There you go. Everything's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You just Google it.
You know what's funny?
The song title and the video is the first thing.
Our listeners may not know this, but I've got about 5 or 6 songs out as a solo artist on Spotify and Amazon and all of that. Mm-hmm. I make more money when somebody goes to YouTube and watches, even though it's just an image with the song, I make more money there than I do when it streams on Spotify or Amazon. And so when I'm in the car, if I'm listening to my stuff, because every now and then, you know, I'm like, let me go back and see if this is a shitty song and it hadn't taken off yet, you know, and nobody's trying to hand me a Grammy. What's going on? So I'll play it and I'll listen to it, but I'll go to YouTube and listen to it. And so I can get that little extra bump of cash.
Yeah.
Not a lot. Not getting rich, I assure you. But, you know.
There you go.
So, you know, you can look up Uncle Wes on YouTube and listen. You know, just you can just turn the volume down. Just let it play. Create a playlist.
We got to get some sponsors so we can get the camera. We need a whole studio set up.
Yeah, we do.
So we can do the live YouTube streaming. And
Remind me off air.
And Odyssey streaming.
To
and
Rumble tell streaming. You about a plan that I'm working on.
Awesome.
All right.
Is it
for world domination?
It is, as a matter of fact.
Yes. I'm in. Totally in.
Yep.
All right, so I was going to play a video.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Or audio.
I cannot believe that you remembered that.
At the end of the national cast. I know. So I'm going to play it right now.
How many times do you have to say that to yourself in your head?
No, I just left that in my phone up. So here we go.
Yeah, nice. All right, so I just successfully negotiated down. Oh, what are you doing?
As soon as you give politicians power, any kind of power that didn't exist previously, if they can figure out a way to force you into carrying something that lets you enter businesses or lets you do this or lets businesses open, historically, they are not going to give that power up. They find new reasons to use it.
I'll be back.
We have to protect those freedoms at all costs, whether you agree with people's choices or not, because it is the foundation that this country was founded on, freedom. This idea of freedom, there's so many people that think it's frivolous, it's not important, it's not the main thing that we should be focused on, but it is the literal structure that allows this country to be so amazing. Every single country that's ever existed other than the United States, up until 1776, every country that has ever existed was run by dictators, all of them. This is the first experiment in self-government that actually worked, and it created the greatest superpower the world's ever known. It created the greatest cultural machine, the greatest machine of art and creativity and innovation right here. And how did it do that? It did it through freedom. And as soon as you see something, anything that comes along and inhibits your freedom, you should be very cautious about that. Should be very suspicious, because anything that comes along that can inhibit your freedom is, by definition, anti-American.
Man, I got goosebumps.
I know. I was just saying, play that on loop for the next.
Yeah.
However many.
Oh yeah.
So that was Joe Rogan. You probably recognize his voice.
Yeah.
And apparently the left's going completely apeshit over this video. But
what he said is true. Like, yeah, it's undeniably true.
What the left concentrates on is during, if you actually look up the video, during the dictator part, you see some, Germany type scenarios in there. And you also see some other countries with dictators. But they just, for some reason, anybody who references or compares anything that's happening to the Holocaust or anything like that, just the left goes apeshit. We know Gina Carano got fired for her tweet, which was completely 100% accurate, but she mentioned the Holocaust. They twist it to say that the left is creating the Holocaust or whatever it is their talking point was. And in no way, shape, or form was any of that even about the Holocaust. It just showed a couple scenes.
And that's an edited video. That wasn't Joe Rogan's video, right? Someone took his audio and edited that video.
It is.
It came from the Daily Mail. So I don't know.
Samuel Rivera Films.
Right.
Did it. So yeah, no, he said that on his podcast.
Yeah, so he made no reference. He just said dictators in general.
Yeah. So they put everybody on the left is attributing that to Joe Rogan. Because obviously it's his
words. Here's what's going on.
Rogan released this on his Instagram.
Right.
So he's obviously involved in the film part too.
So there's such little racism, such little hardships in general in this country.
That they got to make it up.
That they have to make it up.
Yeah.
And they can't. They have to. Communism has never won a popular vote. And communism has never been put into place when times were good. So you have to create, to seize power for governments, it doesn't happen during the good times. It happens during the tough times.
Yep.
So
they're actually manufacturing the tough times.
Yes. Yes. It is such a good, like the poorest homeless people, there are fat homeless people in this country.
Yes.
That is unheard of in the history of mankind ever. That's unheard of. Just our simple obesity rate, and specifically run among the very poor, tells you exactly how prosperous this country is.
Yeah.
And it came about, what he said, based off these freedoms and based off markets. And we've gotten fat and happy. Think about it like this, and I heard someone explain this. 10 years ago, could we have had a single lockdown in a single state anywhere?
Probably not.
Why?
Because people wouldn't stand for it.
No, that's not the reason at all. Because you couldn't order your groceries delivered to your door.
Yeah, you had to
You couldn't work from home. Couldn't school from
so
home.
So it wouldn't be viable.
Technologically, anything. People would have immediately revolted because, what am I supposed to do? Like, I have to feed myself. I have to do these things. Right? Now, the grocery stores never closed down. But a lot of people just went to getting everything delivered, right, and not leaving the house. Right. That wasn't possible 10 years ago. We've technologically advanced so far, and it's become so easy in this country. Like, we're recording a podcast. I could get on my little phone here, and by the end of it, we could have 20 pizzas delivered to this door.
Oh, yeah. You can buy a car on your phone.
Yeah. I mean,
yep.
So we've gotten to this point of being so soft, and it's so good here. And I believe our brains have not evolved enough past the constant need to find some fear, right? So how did you survive 200 years ago? Well, every day you woke up and you worked.
Your work was surviving.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yep. And you were scared of a bear, and you were scared of, there's bears around here. I laugh when I see one, right? Because I got a 8,000 pound vehicle that's just going to obliterate that thing.
Yeah.
It's never been available in human history. So I don't think our little pea brains have evolved enough to not wake up every morning and try to find the thing that drives you to survive, that survival instinct. And it's so good here that so many people on the left, that survival instinct has is just going haywire. Like, and that's why they just grasp on this COVID stuff, and they have to make up critical race theory, and they have to make up, you know, how terrible America is, and the 1619 project,
George Floyd,
the whole stuff George Floyd
was all thing. Completely made up.
Right.
Like, obviously he got killed or he died.
Right.
But the whole riots behind it were nothing but ginned up fear and anger.
Correct.
Of something that really doesn't exist.
Yeah, and the smart politicians utilize that to get what they want done, like Donald Trump at office.
And the media just fan the flames.
Absolutely. Well, that's their
job. That's money for them, man.
That's money for them. Yeah. That's eyeballs. That's people buying papers. That's people clicking. All of that.
Yeah, the happy stories.
In early April, CNN's ratings were through the roof. Then they cratered out. Because everybody was watching the news trying to figure out what was going on with COVID.
Yeah.
Then eventually, a lot of normal folks just said, whoa. I mean, I started watching the news again and started staying. And eventually, after a couple of weeks, I was like, you know what? I got to stop. Like, this is driving me insane. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we have it so good here. And I don't know. We can talk about it. But you know, I've been talking about the supply chain for months. It was my job. But it's about to not be very good here. And it's about to get real ugly. And anything coming from Asia is going to be bad. And unfortunately, a whole lot of our manufacturing comes from Asia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to see some empty shelves. You're going to see a lot of empty shelves coming up. And that's so foreign to us. Like, we are used to showing up to Walmart. And if they're out of Jif peanut butter, I lose my ever loving mind. All right. But get ready.
But it's this past year, you've seen outages of things you would never even think and never even thought of there be outages. Now we're past that craziness.
Mm-hmm. But there weren't outages.
Oh, yeah, there was. There's still outages.
Of what?
Well, you had the toilet paper thing, the paper towels.
There was no outage of toilet paper. We just couldn't get it from the warehouses to Walmart fast enough.
But
from a consumer standpoint.
So the moment you walked in, it may not have been there. That doesn't mean there's an outage. That means it's en route. I just look at it differently. Sorry. Okay. But
well, I guess you can make the argument it's sitting in a tanker off the...
We don't make toilet paper in Asia.
I'm talking about what you're talking about now with the outages because we don't have the...
Straws.
Infrastructure.
You're about to stop getting straws at restaurants.
Well, but to your point, it's either delayed at the ports or we don't have the manpower or the truckers to bring it in.
Yes.
So we're seeing that now.
Right.
But we've been seeing that for a year in certain things.
Yeah.
So whether it's an issue with transporting it in. My point has been
mostly temporary. We're going to see a lot of almost permanent. Not permanent. You're going to go months without seeing some stuff. Yeah.
Well, that would be different.
So that's what I had to talk a lot of family members down when the whole toilet paper and then all the reports about meat and all this. And I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. Everybody chill out for a second. There wasn't a shortage of toilet paper, right? The industry was not set up for that surge. Our supply chain.
Well, it's all that just-in-time inventory stuff.
Yeah.
We only had 3 days. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, and now we've talked about that. Mm-hmm. So then the industry pivoted, and then there was a whole bunch of toilet paper, right?
Yeah.
And there's warehouses full of toilet paper at any moment.
Yeah.
But the other thing was there's a lot of toilet paper that's made for hotels, that's made for restaurants, that's made for all that. Well, you can't sell that at Walmart and Sam's. Okay. So now they've got to try to pivot and figure out how can I sell this or what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Well, they stopped making that and they just focus. So the problem, our supply chain is so intricate. It cannot take it can't take more than one push at all. And it just derails the whole thing.
Right.
And specifically the Asian supply chain. Like, it's so bad right now. And I think I've said it before, on here before. I talked to one of our Asian suppliers And he verbatim told me, he's like, get your lazy ass American dock workers off their ass and unload your products. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is the benefits are, the unemployment benefits have ended. So they ended the end of September. So now you're seeing, or maybe it was the beginning of September. Now you're seeing an increase in.
You're seeing people entering the job market. Yeah. But here's the thing. I mean, as they enter the job market and their salaries increase, so is inflation. And we've already seen inflation.
Huge increase.
And inflation brings recession followed by depression. And that, I mean, you think about the Carter years. Well, I mean, we were all pretty young back then. You were you born?
81.
Okay, so you weren't even born. So you and I were pretty young back there. You were a little older because you're old shit. Yeah.
But Dan was on a second degree in college then.
But I remember.
I was 15.
I remember being a kid in the back of my dad's car at 9 years old and us waiting. And we lived in the county that Jimmy Carter was from. Us waiting at a gas station in a town. I mean, the entire county is only 30,000 people.
Yeah, and you had a limit of how much gas you could buy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were rationing out the gas, and it was, at the time, it was like 90 cents a gallon, which before Carter, it was like 40 cents a gallon. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, you're going to see that not just in fuel, but you're going to see that in food costs. You're going to see that it's going to cause a recessionary period. And I've got a friend that I went to college with who posted just yesterday. He said, if you hadn't been prepping, it's about time you started.
And
well,
now
I posted an article in Walton County, and I hope you guys went and read it. And look, I don't want to dig into it because it would be another 2 hours talking about central planning, right? And China is so centrally planned that any uptick or downtick completely ruins their economy. China's in a bad, bad spot.
Right.
Financially. And it's only going to get worse. And as a competing superpower, we should probably be okay with that. They control so much of our manufacturing that it can be bad. And the biggest problem, besides the ports now, is China's only gone and got so much coal to run these factories. Well, they're running out of coal because these factories worked overtime because they were shut down to get caught back up. Well, now China's got to go get the coal. Well, the coal's super expensive now.
Right.
And they're rationing out this coal to these factories. And the article I shared said that there's factories in China running off of candlelight to make products.
Hmm. Yeah, they're struggling.
I don't want to go back down the Donald Trump rabbit hole. We as the United States could have stopped all this.
Yeah.
If we had stood up in March of 2020 and said, we're not doing this stupid lockdown crap, fired Fauci, any governor that locks a single person down or closes a single business loses every single drop of federal funding.
Yeah.
So I think I've used the analogy, we were a $20 trillion locomotive that was just humming. In the 2019, early 2020, it was humming.
Yeah.
The best economy probably in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to stop it all immediately. And like a freight train, you may stop it immediately, but we're just getting the first and second car building up behind us. And there's a whole long freight train coming up behind it.
That's right.
And it's going to take us a decade or more to fix it. And it's not going to be a heavy D gets elected. And it's not going to be China all of a sudden the CCP crumbles and now they're free country. We're in a decade or more long period where the supply chain is fucked. And we did it to ourselves.
Yep. But on the plus side, land's going to be real cheap here in about a year.
Let's hope so.
And there's some more negative. Apparently Kellogg's has gone on strike.
Sweet.
Kellogg's, the cereal company?
Yeah. Man. Across the whole country.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch is General Mills.
They went on
right?
strike.
I'm good.
So Frosted Flakes, Tony Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey Nut Cheerios is the big one in this house, so we're good. That's a General Mills problem.
Yeah.
But here's the other problem that we're talking about in the supply chain, and sorry, I didn't mean to get bogged down on it, but obviously it's near and dear to my heart.
Sure.
We've consolidated so much power over our food supply chain into just a few small companies. And it's happened in a lot of different areas. So it's not just food.
Right.
So Tyson, which is a Brazilian-owned company, J.B. Swift, Smithfield,
Purdue.
They're just constantly buying and buying and buying. And now we've got Tyson Tyson doesn't know what's going on in their truck. They can't make shit. They can't get it out fast enough. Okay? And they're so far behind. And they're responsible for about 20% of the food produced in America. And then you talk about Smithfield, talk about J.B. Swift and all the companies they own, and you look at Cargill, and you look at all these different companies, and you start looking at their subsidiaries, and they can't do it, right? And it's bad. It's real bad. And again, I keep saying it, like, we did it to ourselves. But we did it to ourselves, going back to our previous conversation, because I've got this phone, and I can order groceries online. And now, tomorrow, I'm working completely from home, which would never be done because I've got two interviews. Yeah. Well, usually I'd have to go rent a hotel meeting room, mm-hmm. and we'd sit there in person. Well, now I'm going to hop on Microsoft Teams. I'm going to interview two people tomorrow.
Right.
Like, it's just so many things have changed, and we're coming up on some hard, hard times. And so.
Yeah.
Ooh, let me play some explosive audio talking about.
Oh, let's hear it.
Explosive
talking
audio.
About it. All right, you ready?
Yep. It's kind of like Dan the day before.
And unfortunately, I hate to say it, but this person's actually spot on. You ready?
Yep.
Undertaking. And it should be. That's what is not happening today. The reason we have to raise the debt limit is in part because of the reckless tax and spending policies under the previous Trump administration. In 4 years, they incurred nearly $8 trillion. In 4 years, $8 trillion in additional debt and bills we have to now pay off. That's more than a quarter of the entire debt incurred now outstanding after more than 200 years.
Unfortunately, old Puddin' Brain spot on there. It's probably the most true thing he said.
But his answer is to add more to it.
I'm with you.
Like extend it, yeah.
But you know, that was always my issue is like, okay, well, we're going to pass this $1.5 trillion bill. And I think we spent a whole episode going through the package gender studies and all that. Mm-hmm. So now, Mitch McConnell, you decide to be fiscally responsible? Like, come on. Like, at some point, somebody's got to stand up and be the adult in the room.
Yeah.
Okay, and nobody wanted to do that in 2020.
But he backed off of that today and said that he's agreed to raise the debt ceiling.
Of course.
You know, it's kind of funny. I shared a meme that not a lot of people understood the other day. But it was what happens when a Keynesian family gets a surprise dinner guest.
I saw that.
And it's got spaghetti on a photocopier. And everybody's like, well, what's this mean? Well, Keynesian's idea was that government creates wealth. And that is exactly the Democratic philosophy. They print money. That's how they think they're helping the economy, which all it's doing is just setting it up to explode. Mm-hmm. And not in a good way.
Yeah.
Not in a good way. You can't just that's socialism. That's exactly like communist Russia. I think we talked about it before. I mentioned that I had a professor that went to Soviet Union back when mm-hmm. it was still the Soviet mm-hmm. Union. And he said, and his question to the class was, do you know why they have zero unemployment? He said, they are literally paying people in 4-hour shifts to hand out toilet paper in public bathrooms. Mm-hmm. Well, they're paying them something that has no value.
Yeah.
Which right now the U.S. dollar, in all reality, if it weren't traded against other currencies, would have no value. It's just fucking paper.
Well, and look, the only thing keeping us even remotely afloat currently is that we are the world's currency.
Right. Absolutely.
The second that goes away, and I do mean the second that goes away, watch out.
You know, one of my...
Now, we'll protect that with every gun and nuke we got, but...
One of my newest hobbies is every time, because Biden's stuff comes up on my Facebook feed for some reason. I don't follow his page, but I follow the president's, you know, the White House or whatever. Okay, anytime he mentions dollars, I just post a link to one of Thomas Sowell's books. You know, it's like, I think you need to read this.
Yep.
You know, Economics 101 or, you know, the fallacies of economics or, you know, one of Thomas Sowell's books. I'll post those. And I've gotten where that's my rebuttal to a lot of liberal arguments. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think you need to read this because that's not how this works at all.
And look, what Biden said there, the spending under the Trump administration was horrid.
Yep.
But even before COVID, this every giant bill.
Well, he passed that massive omnibus spending bill.
Yeah.
COVID, that was in
yeah, that was like December 2019. Yeah. I mean, and there was just so many things that were like, it's so disingenuous when I hear Cruz and Hawley and McConnell and all like, oh, we can't raise a debt ceiling. We can't do this. We can't do that. Like, you some bitches passed like $8 trillion worth of spending.
Well, you really shouldn't, but you shouldn't do it when your guy's in power either. Yeah.
Exactly. Like that, and that's my point. And these people, it blows my mind that these people can't think far enough ahead. Like, you, at no point in 2020 did you consider like, oh, okay, well, maybe Joe Biden might win, and I bet they're going to want to spend a bunch of money. Maybe we should be a little more fiscally responsible. Well, no, they tried to buy off the 2020 election. That's what they were doing. That was the stimulus. The reason Pelosi would never pass stimulus before the election,
right,
was to defer any benefit that Trump would have got off of.
Right. Absolutely. With that being said, we do need to take a break. We'll be right back.
It goes by so fast.
It does, man. We'll be right back right after this.
Hey, guys, it's Wes. I want to thank you so much for helping our podcast grow. We are so excited about the growth we've experienced in our listenership this year. And we're very excited to be able to now offer sponsorships for liberty-minded business owners right here on our podcast. So reach out to us. You can contact me directly at Wes at WesHerndon.com, or you can go to our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/ The Driveway Liberty Podcast. Send us a message, man, if you're interested. We'd love to have you as a sponsor. And maybe if you're local or nearby, we can actually shoot a podcast directly at your business. Either way, let's get back to the broadcast.
I love you guys.
Yeah, you were so drunk. Hey guys, welcome back to the Driveway Liberty Podcast.
Sometimes you get just a little hint of our conversation.
Yeah, man.
And Wes mashes the recording.
I can't let the people have the audio that I just
right. So yeah, this is from a previous cast. Out of the 120 we've got posted, you'll have to go back and search for it.
Yeah,
I can't remember which one it's from.
Unify with my taint. sorry. All right.
And good just, stuff.
Every now and then I remember I have that and I play it and laugh.
So remember during the summer of riots when...
You mean last summer?
Yeah.
Or summer before last now.
The summer of riots.
Because you corrected me earlier. We're not in summer anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, my bad.
The summer of riots. What was the original autonomous zone called?
The Chaz?
Chaz.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then they changed it to CHOP.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, remember they set fire to the Seattle police station during that?
Sure.
Well, the guy got sentenced who started the fire.
Really?
Yes.
I bet it was severe.
We got probation.
So it's a minimum. He got sentenced for arson.
Okay. Which is a felony.
Minimum 5-year sentence in Seattle, whatever jurisdiction it was in.
Washington would make that law. Yeah.
And he got sentenced to 2 years in prison and then 3 years of supervised release.
Man.
For lighting a police station on fire.
Yeah.
And then you got the January 6th people who broke a window. Most of them didn't do anything.
Right.
They just walked into a building.
And stayed between still the being held. Ropes.
They're being held in solitary
with no charges.
Which is not constitutional whatsoever.
Nope. None whatsoever.
You've got to be charged within 48 hours. That's the law.
Here's his defense attorney's explanation. And this is the quote. Isaiah Willoughby was housemates with Manny Ellis when law enforcement officers killed Mr. Ellis. Mr. Willoughby's actions in setting the fire at the East Precinct were motivated in large part by the killing of his friend Manny, the murder of George Floyd, and his own experiences with law enforcement.
Hmm.
So because your roommate got killed by a cop, who apparently he was probably a criminal.
Sure. Because
I have yet to hear of any of the people where they protested over the summer where the person who got killed by police wasn't a criminal. And in reality, their direct action caused them to be shot.
Yeah.
So this guy burns down the Seattle police station because his friend got killed. Now, I don't know the details behind Manny Ellis getting killed. It must not have been a high-profile thing. It must have been legit.
Yeah.
With no questions. He probably tried to shoot a cop or shot a cop. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But there had to have been some legitimate reason they would have exploited
it. Or he was white. Nobody cared.
Yeah.
It could be. So there you go. So that's
so this guy burned down the police station because his buddy got shot by the cops.
Mm-hmm. And George Floyd got killed by the police.
That's true.
Got to throw George Floyd in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. Yep. What's a Rittenhour, the kid that shot
Kyle
Rittenhouse? Rittenhouse. They entered his defense today.
Well, they've been doing all the pretrial stuff, and apparently some defense expert who's testified in use of force for both police, and he teaches a civilian course, multiple civilian courses.
Right.
Basically testified that he was absolutely in the right to protect himself. There was justified use of force. The way he handled himself, and we talked about this, the way he handled, because he had the blue gloves on. You could see where his finger was not on the trigger until he was ready to fire when somebody was coming at him. He testified to all that. And the judge is now deliberating on whether to allow him to be a witness.
Really?
Do you fucking believe this shit?
Man. Well, you know what? It's a political hot potato. It's just like, you remember Rodney King?
Yeah.
So the first trial, those guys got off. They said it was justified force. It was okay. Then the riots happened in L.A. And they retried them on the federal side. And they convicted their ass. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You know, a jury of their peers had already let them off. And, you know, I'm not saying that what they did to Rodney King was accurate or justified, but, you know, it just seems like the only reason the feds went after them was because of to show the public that they were doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no such thing as law and order, no matter how many times people tweet it.
Yeah,
it's just not a thing, right?
Well, how many times is, I don't know, who Steve Dace has said it multiple times. I believe Bongino said it. We are not a country of laws.
Right.
We are a country of political will.
Yeah.
And we always have been and always will be.
Absolutely. 100% it is.
Because they look at what's happening. They manipulate sentencing, witnesses, whatever they can do to make whatever side is in power, and most of the time it's the left. Whether there's a Republican majority in the federal government, still the great bureaucracy and all these things are controlled by Democrats, leftists. Call it what you want.
Right.
So it's always skewed towards them.
Right.
So there's no righteousness. There's no right and wrong being delivered.
Well, and they have a commitment level that we don't.
Yeah.
Because we still have people trying to carry around their pocket constitution and going on local forums and quoting the Declaration of Independence.
And they laugh at the Constitution.
Yeah, and wanting to put together rallies for no apparent reason to just drive around.
Yeah, like, they just don't care about
it. Like that. That's how our side, quote, fights.
Right.
And their side just gets witnesses they don't like thrown out.
Yeah.
Which one's more effective? I mean, it's reality. You know, I've sounded kind of dark and I don't want it to be, but unfortunately that's where we're at as a country.
We got some positive news though.
Oh yeah.
Bitcoin's back over 50,000.
Hell yeah. Nice. It is.
Let me look.
Hell yeah. old T-Rab made a few dollars this last week on Bitcoin.
It's 14% up in October, and we're only the 6th of October.
Yeah. And this is not financial advice, but
72%
with the current inflation and all that.
Well, I never sold. I kept it all the whole time when I bought it before.
You had your diamond
hands. And I'm looking at all these negatives, and I'm just like, just let it ride, baby.
Yeah. You still got your Doge?
I got all of it. I didn't sell anything.
I sold all my Doge for a huge profit.
I still have everything.
But I bought
Bitcoin. I consolidated into Bitcoin.
I bought Bitcoin when it was at 30 grand.
Yeah, and I'm trying to convince the wifey to let's throw it in. There's a few others I got my eye on. The Ethereum. I like Ethereum a lot because it's a program.
I've got a little bit in Ethereum.
And then there's a Cardano. So
I've got Cardano.
The problem with Dogecoin. No. it's very similar to the U.S. dollars. There's no limit. There's more and more miles.
Right, right. There's no market cap on it at all. Right. So you've got to be careful with that because they can just make more.
Yeah.
And that's going to suppress the price. That's the reason I sold.
And I'm still still making money in Bitcoin.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Sure, well, sure. Well, Bitcoin, there's finite amount.
Yeah.
Like there's only...
Or, I mean... In Doge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still...
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And those guys in Twitter and Reddit, I'm still follow those pages. They're in there bumping it, man. Mm-hmm. They're saying, go at it. Diamond hands, all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had diamond hands, but I also had double my money. So I said, let me do this. And then what I did is I took that money and bought other coins.
Yeah. Well, I wish I was smart enough to figure out how to write an algorithm that basically every time Bitcoin went up, you know, X percent, you sell. Or you sell. And then when
it goes down, you buy.
Like just writing an algorithm to buy and sell, that way you can make millions of dollars.
Oh, right? Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep.
But I'm not smart enough. If our listeners are,
yeah, let us know.
I'll do the investment. We can split the profits.
There you go.
So
there you go.
We'll test it right out. There you go. What else you got over there, Dan?
So apparently, of the however many thousand people are still stuck in Afghanistan, there's 41 elementary school students.
American elementary school students.
What the hell are they doing in Afghanistan to start with?
Yeah. What kind of parent takes their kid over there for that? Is it a military parent? I don't know.
Officials at Baker Elementary School.
That's like over in Panama City, right?
San Juan District.
Oh.
Trying to cobble together a rescue mission because there's 41elementary school kids.
Man, that's messed up.
Afghanistan.
Stranded.
Peppermint Patty. They're fucking stranded.
Yes, I agree. However, I still need some clarification. Why the fuck there's 41 elementary school kids.
American elementary schools in Afghanistan.
It was a field trip, man.
Oh, okay. My bad.
They picked the wrong time to go on a field trip.
You're damn right they did. So, what parent signed the permission slip?
I don't know.
Holy shit, man.
They're teenagers.
Where are you going to Afghanistan? Nope. Nope. Once you stay here, we'll go to the beach.
Yeah.
There's sand there.
Right.
And it's close to home.
That's right. And there's actually water.
Too. There's actually water.
And we'll get some goats to run around. You'll feel like you're there.
Yeah, I'll put it. Never mind. I almost messed up. I ain't going to say it.
And here's some more good news. Not really.
Oh.
If the Biden plan goes through, this $3.5 trillion.
That's not good news, Dan.
No. The corporate tax rate in America, if you combine the state taxes with the federal, would be the third highest in the world.
How about that? That's magical.
Yeah.
And then for them to actually get up there and say, oh, well, we have no idea that they would pass that on to consumer. Bullshit. That's exactly what they're going to do. Because you know what? A lot of the consumers are also stakeholders in those businesses. If you got a 401k, 403b, an IRA, Roth IRA, any type of investment, you're investment in large corporations. And if they're having to spend more money, you make less money on your retirement. And people don't realize that. They segment, they compartmentalize that information and have no fucking clue.
Well, because they assign it to the rich Wall Street people.
Yeah.
Even though that affects every single person who has a job.
If you've got a 401k.
Who works in corporate America, and a 401k.
Look.
Or has any type of
investment. If you're taxing Walmart an extra 20% on their profits, guess what? All that shit at Walmart's going up.
Fantasy land where they think the CEO is going to take a pay cut.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Like, that doesn't happen.
That
businesses adjust.
CEOs rarely sleep. You know, I get mad at people saying, well, CEO made this much money. Well, you know what? That son of a bitch rarely sleeps.
My brother-in-law is a CEO, and he freaking works 24/7.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell, I was a sales officer for a Fortune 100 insurance company, and I didn't sleep much, and I wasn't the CEO.
Hell, I was a store manager for a big box retailer. I worked like 80 hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
And you know what the dirty little secret of all of it is? Hmm. You know who wants the taxes on the rich and the corporate tax hike?
The corporations.
Yeah, the big corporations. Yeah. The big corporations would
love a
corporate tax hike.
So they can put the small business guys out of business.
Yeah, they want all of us out of business.
And the ultra wealthy would love to see taxes go up on the rich. They don't care. It's not going to affect them.
Right.
It only affects the guys that can't afford
it. Destroys their competition.
50 accountants, right? And it keeps anybody else from ever being as rich as they are. And then the big corporations like Amazon, whatever, you can raise the corporate taxes all you want to. We're just going to pass it on.
Yeah.
So they don't give a shit. Mm-mm. But what it does do is Amazon's competitor or the local guy that's trying to do that or the local Eats or whatever delivery service is that's trying to take out Uber Eats, well, they can't handle it.
Right.
Uber Eats can. Amazon can. You know, I think I've told this story last time. You know who was the biggest pusher for all these miles per gallon regulations that we've seen over the last 20 years? Biofuel, all these different things.
Oh, yeah. the car dealers.
Yeah, it was Ford, GM, and Chrysler. Yep.
Yeah.
They paid lobbyists millions to go in. Now, it cost them billions to change things. But you know what it did? It reduced the competition.
It kept a what was that company that popped up there for a little while? Well, Subaru was one of them, but
Datsun.
Yeah,
Datsun is now.
There was one that popped up in like the 90s, and I can't
Saturn?
Remember who it was. Yeah, Saturn.
And Saturn was
Saturn
bought
was
by
a
GM,
GM company. Yeah,
just got bought out.
But that's what people miss, and that's what people on the right miss. And I'll be honest with you, the billionaires in this country, vast majority of them are giant pieces of shit that are pushing some really crazy stuff. I don't give a shit. You go take all their money. For all I give a damn, right? And that's not a very liberty-minded thing to say.
Yeah, but the problem is they don't take their money.
Right. They're not taking their
they
money.
They take our money.
Yeah. We talked about it. You know what Jeff Bezos' salary this last year at Amazon was?
$1.
85 grand.
Something like that.
Yeah. So
and he got paid in stock options.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
The only taxes you ever pay on that is if
you
sell.
Cash them out, yeah.
And not if you hold it for
a certain amount. Did you see the Facebook stock dump? Monday morning before it went down?
No, I did not.
Somebody knew that it was coming.
Well, I don't think it's coincidental that this whistleblower's on 60 Minutes Sunday night, and then just randomly Facebook goes down for 6 hours.
Yeah.
And stock price. Like, you know, they said Mark Zuckerberg lost $7 billion. It's like me dropping a dollar.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't even slow down.
Yeah. And it'll go back up.
Yeah.
You know, he ain't lost shit until he sells it.
Right.
It's just like your Bitcoin or your crypto.
Douche.
You don't lose money until Diamond you hands. Sell it. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, but, you know, part of their future tax plans is taxing unrealized gains. Now, it's not in this bill, but that's something they want to do.
Yeah. Right.
So, this week, if you make $20,000 on Bitcoin going up, but you didn't sell it, so you have no money in your pocket, just the value of it went up,
mm-hmm.
They want to tax that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which what would that encourage? It would encourage you to own nothing.
Yeah.
Because my home has doubled in price.
Yeah.
Basically since I bought it.
Sure.
So there's a whole shit ton of unrealized.
Crawl into a cave and you get them, like
Klaus Schwab
rent
said,
and you live in a
you'll own nothing and you'll be happy.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, think about that term, unrealized gains. If it's unrealized, you haven't gained a thing.
Yeah, I know.
It is, you still have the same amount of money put into it that you did when you got it.
Well, here's my question on unrealized gains. So let's say my home is worth X dollars, and then next year it's worth back to what I owe on it. Well, there's no unrealized gains.
Yeah, you don't
gains.
Get a refund.
Do I get a refund on my unrealized gains?
No, when you lose money, they don't give you money back.
Exactly.
Right. And that's why that's so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Because you're being taxed on something that's not tangible.
Yeah.
It's not something you put your hands on. It is so stupid. And this.
But I want you to think about it like this. Who's the largest private landowner in the United States?
Bill Gates.
You think Bill Gates gives a shit? If the unrealized gain, if there's unrealized gain tax,
no,
you know why? Because there's gonna be a whole lot of people that say, "Well, shit, if I got to pay tax on it, I got to sell it and take whatever gains I get."
Yeah,
and he's right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
and it's just a way to consolidate money and power into the hands
into
of these
very,
very
small
few.
The very yeah. thing liberals accuse conservatives of doing.
Right, yep.
They create this class warfare victimology, and this is exactly what they're doing. That they're doing it on the real while accusing others of doing it. Alinsky, I've said it before.
Yep.
That's exactly what Alinsky, part of the Alinsky method.
Yeah, I just think there's too many people that everything you said, Wes, is right, and they agree with that, but they don't ever think through the, well, who likes more regulation and taxes, and where is this even coming from?
Yeah.
If Wall Street is the biggest donor to Joe Biden, why wouldn't Wall Street just be blowing Joe Biden up and that dies immediately?
Well, yeah.
Because the hedge funds can handle a little extra taxes.
Mm-hmm. And they make money whether it goes up or down.
Right.
Because they know how to work the system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that good, huh?
Yeah. Good stuff.
That kind of shit pisses me off.
Man, yeah. It's so ridiculous. I mean, look, if you're listening at home right now, and now if you're listening to us, you're probably more intelligent than average bear. But, man, you need to go shake your neighbor and say, look, you got to wake up and realize that what's going on is a bunch of shit now. But you know what, man? It just pisses me off so much.
But that's what, look what they did with the January 6th thing. Just that tiny little thing that it was. Look what they've created. Travis, you talked about it before. Look what they did in 9/11 with the Patriot Act. Mm-hmm. When these things happen, they take full advantage and strip you of your freedoms.
You know, I really, really try to keep myself from there's a global cabal of 20, 25, 30, whatever, like ultra wealthy people that are just pulling all these strings. I really try to keep my mentally stay out, but I can't look at anything. So do you know the only country that's currently exceeding their agreed upon output on oil?
Soviet Union.
Russia.
Yeah.
There's only one. Now, roll it back a year. We were smoking Russia.
We were killing it.
Yeah. On everything.
Yep.
And in less than a year, Biden and his whole administration knowingly put us in this position and then knowingly backed off a different policy that lets Russia, which is shockingly the only country in the world that's creating more oil, build a pipeline through Europe, which only makes Russia richer.
Yep.
But coincidentally,
but Trump
goes through
was the Russian guy.
Right. Coincidentally, also goes through Ukraine and on Burisma land. Never mind. Mm-hmm. That's where we were. And you know, I think the problem, and I've said it, you know, we've talked about it. I think you mentioned it. Like, the Constitution doesn't mean anything right now, because what have the Democrats actually passed? Nothing.
It's all been executive orders.
So in a year, our country has completely changed. Everything's changed about our economy, about our way of life, about everything. And it hasn't been, none of it's been fucking voted on.
None of it.
Yep. And the big things they want to do, they can't get passed.
They can't get passed. Right. So that's where we're at. And unfortunately, I know this sounds really bad and I keep saying it, the next person that we elect as a Republican or whoever, just on the right, has to do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if it were up to me, I'd go put in a whole bunch of executive orders, hopefully have enough Senate and congressional majority, and say no more executive orders ever.
Yeah.
But.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I mean, Trump's big, his first big executive order, I can't even remember what it was on. All my friends and Republicans are just celebrating it. I mean, just going, oh, yeah, he did the right thing. That's a good thing. I'm like, is it really? I mean, this was not a good thing, because it's one man passing something without a consensus of Congress, which means it's that easy to reverse it.
Mm-hmm.
And then within the first 3 weeks, we had, 50 executive orders, most of which.
The first day.
Reversing all of Trump's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a fucking seesaw, man.
So Trump deregulated everything. Biden came in and regulated everything back.
And went further. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a seesaw, dude. I mean, if it's not an actual law passed by Congress and signed by the president or a constitutional amendment, it's pretty much only useful for the term of that president.
Well, the whole purpose of the executive order was to be used for during an emergency where you needed to act quickly and you couldn't wait for Congress. Now they've just completely, and it's been happening forever.
No.
The executive order things have been happening for a very long
time. The executive orders have been happening forever. Presidents in the last 20 years.
Who was the president before Teddy Roosevelt?
Before Teddy?
Yeah, Teddy.
Was it Jackson?
Anyways, that person wrote 4 executive orders, and it was something like, you know, shpoobily boo, you know, this is National Poop Day or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it was just, it wasn't anything policy driven. Teddy Roosevelt, in his term, signed 1,000 executive orders.
Right.
Okay. And that's
all
when
the
it started
National
to
Park
turn.
Shit and all of that.
Yeah. And that's when everything started to turn. So it hasn't been going on forever. There was lots of presidents that signed 0 executive orders.
McKinley was before.
McKinley. That's right.
I think McKinley was like 4 or 5. And then Roosevelt found out a way to get things done without needing Congress. Roosevelt, the Roosevelt that's held up by the Republican Party as, you know, just the most best president ever, set the most dangerous precedent that's led us to where we're at now.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to talk about that.
But you look at the last 20 years.
Well, it's really gotten
the
very,
volume of executive orders, but from Bush to now.
Well, I would say I don't know if it's necessarily the volume. It's the policy specific.
What they did with
right.
The weight of those
the
executive
weight of those
orders.
Executive, yeah. Like completely seesawing the whole country back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has changed.
Yep.
Ridiculous. Was I right, Dan?
What?
Yeah, I know. I was right. Say it. Hey, Travis, you were right. You were spot on. Thought you were Googling something over there. So
he was looking up McKinley.
He was looking up McKinley.
He was looking up the presidents, yeah. I wanted to make sure we added that to your point.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Fair
McKinley.
Enough.
McKinley's one of my favorite presidents.
What else you got that's going to piss me off,
not
man?
Really, I didn't.
Do you guys watch Game of Thrones?
No. I watched like 2 or 3 episodes.
I watched some of it, and then like the last couple seasons, because my wife got into it. But
well, apparently there's a
sequel,
a prequel.
Prequel.
Well, it's a 10. They teased it. It's a 10 episode.
It's going to be on HBO.
That's coming out in 2022. Yeah, the whole thing's created by HBO. Yeah.
Well, I knew the original was, but
yeah, this one's on HBO too. It's called House of Dragons.
Okay. Cool.
Unspecified date in 2022.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Just
I mean, there was some good stuff in Game of Thrones, but that last season was.
I watched it, the thing I hated about in the beginning, the first season, like that, the one guy who got beheaded,
mm-hmm.
that guy was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He was like my favorite character. I'm like, this is what a leader is. And then at the fucking end of the first series, they put his head on a pike and killed him. Like, what are you doing? You just ruined the whole show.
What,
in
I
my
mean,
mind, at the
in your yeah, clearly it did
kinda,
okay, Dan.
Then it kind of
it made it,
and then it went, and then eventually I kind of got tired of it. I couldn't deal with it.
Well, I mean, they were always killing characters. That was kind of I remember the memes.
Yeah. Well, like, the first season, and when the way they portrayed him as this great father, and it was like, and then they fucking killed him.
Yeah.
The little prick killed him.
Yeah.
Or had him killed. He didn't do it.
Yeah. Well.
And then somebody killed his ass. It's pretty much everybody killed each other.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of how that whole thing went.
That was basically the show. Right?
I don't want to give away any spoilers, but that's kind of how the whole show.
Everybody's killing everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
Well, George R.R. Martin, the guy that wrote it, he looks like he kind of stinks, doesn't he?
He does look like he smells.
He got him a little body.
You mention it.
A little body older. Odor. He's always wearing that old captain's hat or whatever the hell he's wearing. Yeah.
So you guys know what Biden's approval rating is at?
Like 30%.
38%.
Yeah. That's about 37.9%.
That's the Quinnipiac University poll.
And Quinnipiac tends to lean a little
left.
A little left.
Yeah. So it's 38%. So it's more than half say that the Biden administration is not competent in running the government. 55%. Saying that.
There may be That's hope all. For us yet.
50% said Biden is not honest.
That's all?
Yeah. But listen,
well,
when
I don't
you're,
think it's,
when
don't
you're
think...
between 25 and 30% slanted in interviewing it or getting the poll results from Democrats,
right.
These numbers are staggering.
Yeah.
Sure.
41% that said he has good leadership. 56%.
How many he said he said?
41% says he has good leadership. 56% says he doesn't.
He'd lead you to the bag of Werther's Original.
Yeah, to the hard candies sticking in the fucking glass dish by the recliner.
55%
with disapprove. The toenail clippers sitting right there beside it.
55% disapprove of his handling of the economy.
Oh, yeah.
58% disapprove of his job as commander in chief. 67% said he's wrong on immigration and border issues.
He's wrong on everything.
But that's a big number.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That big freaking number. Especially when, you know, the 25% skewed towards Democrat is probably a lowball number.
Yeah.
Hold on. This is from Michigan. Sorry.
As his motorcade is driving down the street.
Let's go, Brandon. All right, let's go,
Brandon.
We were talking about this in the break. They actually had signs that said, "Let's go, Brandon." Those people were holding the signs. Most of them had "fuck Joe Biden" flags.
Right.
But some of them
had the signs.
Let's go, Brandon.
Have you seen the memes where it's actually Joe Biden? He's like, "Hey, let's go, Brandon." And then one of the older memes where he's the meme format where he's sitting by Obama. He's like, "Man, they want to have sex with me." He said, and Obama's like, "No, they're saying let's go, Brandon."
Hold on. I do have to play. We've got this audio. Oh, man. Where Joe Biden was talking about his grandpa and putting 20,000 gallons of fuel.
Oh, yeah. The one
Hold
where
on. Let
stuttering.
Me find it here. Oh, my God. That was
Cat Turd. You know Cat Turd on Twitter?
Yeah.
Said I can drink a 12-pack and not
oh,
slur as
much
said? As this
Hold
guy
on.
Did.
All right,
yes.
All right,
it's
all right,
in the.
Right. Hold on. I got it. Here it is. All right, ready?
Parenthetically, when you build a Georgie station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa.
Wait, what's a Georgie station?
I don't know.
A what?
Parenthetically.
See, you said you weren't going to be on your phone.
I'm sorry.
You're not paying attention.
I'm following.
Parenthetically, jargon.
I was
station.
Waiting on you to get it pulled up. Man. What? You called me off guard.
Did you read the transcript?
When you hear Joe Biden talking in your ear,
yeah.
That's
pull up the transcript.
Yeah,
it's
Dave Rubin read it. I'll pull that one up.
All right.
Parenthetically. When you build a charging station, it's like back in the day when my grandpa worked for the Mineral Canola Company back in the turn of the 1920 in that area. They went from state to state convincing people that they allowed them to put 20,000 gallons of gasoline under the ground. They didn't want them around. But parenthetically.
Parenthetically.
What?
What the hell did he just say?
I don't. Who didn't want 20?
Hey, man, you want to bring 20,000 gallons
of
fuel?
Don't worry. Peppermint Patty will explain this.
All right, let's hear it.
No, I don't have it. She will at the next press conference.
Well, you got anything else?
Hold on. Dave Rubin, here we go.
Parenthetic.
Read it to you. And I wrote down what Joe Biden said. I'm going to read it to you. And because maybe we're losing something through the way Joe Biden said it. Maybe he was just saying it a little too fast or something. So I thought I'd say it to you, and you tell me if this makes sense. Parenthetically, when you build a Jargie stations like back in the day when my grandpop worked for the Merrill Cologne back in the turn of the 19 in that area, they haji in that area. They went to state, convincing people that a lot of them put 20,000 gallons of gasoline underground. They didn't want them around.
You try not to laugh.
Yeah. That's not accurate. That's not quite accurate.
He was missing 1920.
He is missing the 1920. Right, yeah. Yes.
The turn of the 1920s. He's going to say turn of the century. And it was like 1920s. Not the
yeah. He corrected himself.
Oh, and that's hilarious, except that dude has the nuclear codes.
Yeah. That dude is the most, well, used to be the most powerful position in the world.
He's technically the most powerful human in history.
Yeah.
Which
so with that being said, guys, it's time.
Let's end on such a bright and shiny
note. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Joe Biden's an idiot. I'm your Uncle Wes.
Show up for the hot musical takes.
And let's go,
that's
Brandon.
Right. Let's go, Brandon. So we'll see you next time on the Driveway Liberty Podcast. For Travis and Dan, go to drivewaylibertypodcast.com. Buy some merch. We got some leggings. Anyway, we'll see you next time. Bye.